Hello, welcome to Temple of Health Radio Show, and we're here today with Dr. Rick Jarrow. Is that the right?
That's good.
That's it? Okay. And he is the creator of the Advanced Manifestation Program, Shaping Your Reality with the Power of Your Desire. This is a CD program available from Sounds True. And he has some other works, which I'll allow him to introduce. And thank you for joining us today.
You're welcome.
Where are you calling from?
I'm in New York, Poughkeepsie, New York, by the Hudson River.
Oh, okay, great.
Hudson Valley, yeah.
Well, you've got some other books that you authored. Would you like to mention those before we get into
the... Let me mention first the... I persuaded upon Sounds True to slightly change the title.
Okay.
Of not shaping reality, but aligning. That's what's really crucial about my work.
Okay.
In both the Alchemy of Abundance, the Advanced Manifestation Program, Creating the Work You Love, the Yoga of Work, all the stuff that I've put out there.
Alrighty, great. And are these available in books and CDs?
Most of them are CDs or downloads.
Okay.
The two books are The Alchemy of Abundance and Creating the Work You Love.
Alrighty, great. Well, I was very impressed with your program, the Advanced Manifestation Program, just because I've been interested in manifestation for many years, and you seem to have the best overall approach to it, and it's very detailed and something that I've recommended to a lot of people need to manifest things.
Cool.
So would you like to share your background with the audience a little bit, your academic background? And
I think the most important academic thing that I ever did was drop out of Harvard.
There you go.
when I was after my first year, and I drove a taxi for 9 months in New York City, then took the money and went to India.
Uh-huh.
And I was away. I was traveling around through Europe and India for 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
And during that time, I studied and trained with a lot of people and had a good time and all of that. But it eventually came to the reckoning, to the realization that I had to work through my own culture and its history.
Mm-hmm.
And that was actually through reading Carl Jung in India, of all places.
Mm-hmm.
So then I came back to the U.S. and wound up at Columbia University, where I got my B.A., Master's, and Ph.D. And what's important about that, my PhD, believe it or not, is in Indian languages and literature.
Mm-hmm.
But what I was doing was following my passion. And my passion was to find out the truth about all these yoga traditions that I'd practiced in India. And I felt that so many people were giving, giving a piece of the pie. But if I wanted to get kind of the whole pie, I had to learn the language and read the text myself.
Right. So you were synthesizing over many different routes to
right, and also
knowledge.
At Columbia, mm-hmm. I actually created my own major, which in those days, it was called English, and in those days, Oriental Studies. Today, we say Asian Studies. So I was doing a lot of East-West
mm-hmm.
work, and through that study of kind of comparative imagery and religion and mythology, I got interested in astrology, alchemy, and the Western Hermetic tradition.
Right. Yeah.
And I also studied outside of college with some really wonderful masters of manifestation. One of them was named Hilda Charlton. She gave these kind of New Age revival classes at St. John the Divine's Cathedral in New York every Thursday afternoon, evening, with like 300-400 people coming. And at the end of every class, she would kind of say, whoever needs a job, stand up. And invariably, 20 or so people would stand up, and she would have the rest of us om for them.
Mm-hmm.
But while that was going on, her invocation was not, please fund a job, but rather it was, quote, there's a place that needs you, and there's a place where you need to be.
Mm-hmm.
Can you see those places coming together?
Right.
And that was kind of the first clear expression of alignment that I was able to resonate with.
Yeah, that's a very important concept, actually.
Yeah. I also studied with a Cuban shamanic healer named Orestes
mm-hmm.
Valdez, who had a beautiful statement. He used to say, everybody has to swim in their own river.
Mm-hmm.
If you swim in someone else's river, you'll drown.
Right.
And he was the person who initially showed me, demonstrated to me, the power of the imagination, that imagination is not just imaginary, but it is a true organ of mm-hmm. the soul and of manifestation.
Right.
So that's kind of my formation, more or less.
And it's very important to study with these different traditions how to tap in to the higher realms or the higher informational sources, whatever you want to call them, in
right.
order to bring forth what is best to be, you know, the best path for you to be in your river. You
right.
know, it's the imagination is to tap into the higher possibilities and then bring them forth through your what's described in the Advanced Manifestation Program. So obviously, you know, your path had to be to learn to tap into that.
And I think it was had to do with being with the people who were doing it, with connecting with mentors
mm-hmm,
who were
right.
modeling that reality.
Yeah, and they wouldn't necessarily be, you know, in the academic institutions
exactly.
at all. In fact, they wouldn't be. There's not a PhD in manifestation yet, although
right.
there probably should be. that's great. Well, would you like to tell the listeners a little bit about what is in the Advanced Manifestation Program?
Well, let me just say why I think it's important.
Okay.
I make a distinction between, I find the manifestation programs which simply focus on getting what you want,
mm-hmm.
as it's not that they're not helpful, it's that they kind of lead people away from the deeper alignment of the soul.
Right. Exactly.
If it was just about getting what you wanted, you know, Midas would have succeeded. But look
mm-hmm.
what happened to him. You know, he
right.
created a
yeah.
royal mess. So the and they're kind of two theories, if you will, or practices of manifestation out there. One side, it's like the get what you want people. Think
mm-hmm.
think on it and it will come. The other side is the love what is people. Whatever it is, just open and accept it and
mm-hmm.
love it. And what we do in the Advanced Manifestation Program is bring those two together in a
mm-hmm.
in a dynamic way, because one without the other is really insufficient. Now, if we just love what is, then we'd still have slavery, women wouldn't have the vote, so on
right.
and so forth. But if we just go after what we want and are not attentive to what is, we deracinate ourselves from the true sources of power, and it becomes flimsy. So...
Yeah.
That's basically, that's the concept.
Right. I think you have to be very careful and use feedback. It's a constant, it's like an analysis, but it's not just left brain. It's also right brain analysis, because you have to pay attention to the feeling.
Yeah.
How does it feel as you go forward?
I like that word feedback, because that's kind of the proof of the pudding that the universe really is intelligent. The universe really
oh, yeah.
does make sense. We really can have a working conscious relationship with the universe. And that's the satisfaction when you begin to see how thoughts are recapitulated in the
mm-hmm.
environment and come back to you and people and the feedback loop. That's when you really see, wow, what I put out is coming back to me.
And it was just recently that I had some really amazing examples of that. It's
mm-hmm.
almost like everybody's waking up all at once.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're going to wake up to is that we truly are a part of a conscious universe that we can interact with, and that we can get the answers to things. I put out questions in meditation, and then the answers come over the Internet, I mean,
wow.
as emails.
Yeah.
I mean, wow. I was... I had a time when in March, I had four viruses, so I was praying about why, you know, because I was sick, and people from out of state had to wait a week for surgery, you know, it's not good. And it turned out that the answers came forth very kind of like in steps, you know, so that I would understand them all. But it was really just eating GMO soy that
wow.
did it. And
wow.
then yesterday, I had an email showing that there was hexane in the soy, which, of course, is not good for one either. So I had announced to everybody I was going to become vegetarian, because I've been vegetarian off and on my whole life, but I was going more toward vegetarian. And people bring me a lot of food, and they started bringing me soy from restaurants. And the soy from restaurants
right.
isn't healthy. So
right.
you can actually, and I really want people to understand this, if you have a question, you can actually ask it and then just stay open to the feedback around you. Emails, people coming up to you telling you things, articles,
right.
you know. It's a great way to research.
Yeah. I think you bring up a really crucial point that I firmly am convinced that the really big arena of manifestation in this age, in this time, in this space, is our own bodies, and people have given away the power of their knowledge and sensitivity and awareness of the body. They've given it away to institutions, to pharmaceutical companies, so on and so forth. And the more you really work on becoming sensitized to the interactive potential between you and your environment, the more you're aware of the vibrancy, healing potential, and extension of your own body and the natural body. And that's something that everybody can do.
Yeah,
and it's not dissing the medical community.
Oh,
it's
no,
taking
no.
power over your intuitive feeling and physical awareness.
I mean, if you have an infection, an acute infection, and you need an antibiotic, I mean, the best way to choose that antibiotic is a dual way. One based on science, based on is it likely gram-negative, gram-positive, you know, is it anaerobe, da-da-da. But the other way is muscle testing.
Mm-hmm.
Muscle testing, if it takes 4 to 5 days to grow out a bacteria and the patient's really sick, you better guess right. Well, I can guess, but I like to confirm that my guess is going to be compatible with the patient's, immune system. They're not going to have an anaphylactic reaction, you know, that kind
right.
of thing.
Right.
And people can do their own kinesiology or testing about almost anything they put in their body. So I think you're right. And then the feeling, too. If you get a feeling that something isn't going to be good for you, you need to explore that feeling. Well, basically, I guess the Advanced Manifestation Program has several sections in it. Would you like to introduce the beginning of it and how you?
Well, the basic format and understanding of the program is that the work about becoming who you are. And about being the most you can be, and about being, you know, the higher level of the pursuit of happiness, so to speak, is not just an internal state, and it's not just an external state, but manifestation literally means making visible. And what is made visible is whatever is in the field of consciousness that we're seeking to manifest, that we need to manifest, in order to grow into the full expression of who we are. And so what I basically work with in the Advanced Manifestation Program is the bank, you know, where is the real bank account? You know, where do you have the greatest amount of value reserve? And that is your attention. Your attention is so valuable that everybody's trying to get it. Your kids, the media, so on and so forth.
Right.
So what happens in the Advanced Manifestation Program, we ask these questions. What is attracting my attention? Well, even before that, what's flirting with my attention? You know, what's attracting my attention? What's demanding my attention? And ultimately, sometimes, what is commanding my attention? And if we can really go into these questions and see exactly what it is, then the next question is, how am I being called to respond to what's attracting my attention? And that response, that's our response to life. That's how we create things. And in order to facilitate that, I have used the hermetic wheel of the zodiac, even though I don't mention it, as a model in which you can process your own life journey. So body, money, communications, home, children, creativity, schedule, relationships, sexuality and death, your spiritual journey, vocation, friends and groups, and your inner dreams, your being. We kind of go into all these areas, and I actually do it in terms of an inner imagistic meditation. So it's like you're entering an astral temple, and that temple is very real. It's created by the elementals of thousands of people. And in doing so, you get to open the power of your imagination to become very clear about what you need to respond to in your life, what you need to be focusing on, what you need to be letting go of. And so that is just one of the other big mandala that I work with is a four-gated cardinal cross, if you will. The four directions, the mandala of the four directions. The east, what's coming into my life. The south, what do I need to expand and produce? The west, what do I need to let go of? What's dying in my life? And the very important north, which is what is unknown, what is misty, what do I need to have patience with and let develop? And so the idea is to become conscious of these directions instead of the constant production, consumption, getting sick, which is what people are doing. People produce, consume, get exhausted. Produce, consume, and get exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of unintelligent use of energy.
Right.
So if for a good example of this, so often people want to manifest a new job, a new relationship, but they haven't taken the time and energy to completely let go of the old one.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're actually fighting themselves. So we work at conserving that energy, not fighting ourselves, but finding out this most important question, I would argue, in anybody's life, which is, quote, what's important now?
Mm-hmm.
And when you have a good sense of what's important in your life, and then can amp it up to, like, how can I kind of serve everybody with this, then you're moving into higher levels of manifestation. The interesting thing about this is, unfortunately, most, popular programs have kind of construed manifestation with something like getting rich quick.
Right, yeah.
But, the problem with that is very visible if you look at the statistics of everyone who's won the lottery.
Mm-hmm.
The high suicide rate, the high divorce rate.
Right.
Because unless you are ready inside to live mm-hmm. on a certain level, you won't be able to handle it.
Yeah, and you don't even maintain it. I mean,
you
look 5 years hence, they
exactly.
do not have the money with them.
But the good news is that it is possible to be healthy. It is possible to be connected with others. It is possible to do what we love, that mm-hmm. that we have the power to move our creative energy in this direction, and that is what I would call manifestation. The way, one of the best images I've had of this is the open hand.
Mm-hmm.
Because the open hand is simultaneously receiving from the universe,
mm-hmm.
but also offering to the universe.
Right.
And that to me is the fulcrum of manifestation. There has to be a transactional exchange going on.
The other thing too, which is important right now because we're in this recession, is that to kind of unplug from the societal, things that are going on all around. You don't want to plug into that energy and start having scarcity in your life.
Yes, you don't want to do that.
But well,
I like
choice.
This woman Hilda, who I work with, my earliest teacher. She had mm-hmm. a great. She would refuse. She would not let anybody who was close to her use the word problem.
Mm-hmm.
She would also always say, kid, this is your opportunity.
Right.
And I really feel that this economic meltdown is a great opportunity to unplug, to get out of the kind of greed, scarcity, up-down
mm-hmm.
model, to really get clear on how I can be nourished so I can survive and thrive without being subject to this multinational madness. I mean, it's a really good opportunity if people are strong enough to take it and stay out of the mass panic attack.
Right.
And you notice that when the economy is not enough to put people in panic, then the corporate media turns to swine flu and gets everybody,
right.
everyone panicky about that.
Yeah, it's really interesting that what I realized, it's probably dismantling a system that we didn't even realize was really toxic, too.
Mm-hmm.
I think the crisis started when Pluto went into Capricorn, and as you know, whatever Pluto goes into, anything that is not real, anything that is not in divine order gets exposed and kind of broken apart. And we just didn't know that the economic system was so broken. I mean, I didn't know that they were doing all those trades that were based on nothing. I mean,
IPOs, yeah.
Because I didn't follow the. I mean, you may have known it if you read the, you know, the warnings, because there were warnings. I mean,
right.
Warren Buffett warned people, but I don't. You know, I'm reading medical magazines, not economic magazines. So basically, it was breaking apart a system that isn't real, isn't solid. So in that case, of course, there's going to be a lot of gnashing of teeth. I mean,
yeah, you know, there's an interesting kind of Tibetan Buddhist methodological kind of look of like what happens when things fall apart.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that people do, one very instant reaction, is to try to put it together just the way it was before.
Yeah, it fell apart for a reason, guys.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
And
you're going to waste a lot of money trying to put it back together.
And this is true on the personal level as well as the national level. But
yeah.
You can't put it back together. You'll just recreate the same problem.
Right. So you have to have faith that it fell apart for a reason. I mean, whenever you see something crashing down, there's reasons. And what we do, we have a meditation group, and we explore those reasons.
Yeah.
And then we figure out what is the likely, you know, the likely path through everything.
And one of the practices in the Advanced Manifestation Program is to take anything that's happening to you as a, quote, symptom. And I define
mm-hmm.
a symptom as anything on any level that's bothering you.
Mm-hmm.
And you really, you face the symptom and you ask what it wants from you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, see it as a guide instead of an enemy.
Right.
So if we look at this at the economic symptom, what does it want from us individually and culturally?
Mm-hmm.
I think we could come up with some very, very powerful answers.
Yeah, I think it has a lot to do with responsibility. I mean, it's just,
yeah, responsibility for your body, responsibility mm-hmm. for the way you consume and share resources.
And behave toward the environment.
Yeah. And absolutely. And again, one of the points in the Advanced Manifestation Program is not a romantic idea of slowing down, but a very practical, pragmatic idea of coming back to your breath, to your attention, so that the richness in everyday life becomes evident again.
Mm-hmm.
And when we have that richness in everyday life, we don't have to keep manufacturing widgets.
Right.
You know, I mean, the stores are filled with products that can't be sold
mm-hmm.
because people don't know what to do except to keep producing.
Mm-hmm.
When, you know, I'm a New Yorker, you know, when 9/11 happened, the first thing that they told us, everyone go shopping. That's going to save us.
Really? I would think you would not want to be out in the air.
The
air
dust,
wasn't particularly
yeah.
healthy
without
a mask or something.
That's what they didn't tell you.
Yeah, well, that's what they should have been telling people, and especially the volunteers,
and
look at what's happened.
Yeah, and this is also part of a gift of Pluto and a gift of in the Advanced Manifestation Program
mm-hmm.
that you don't just rush in and go for the fix,
mm-hmm.
but you really go to the bottom and see, you know, you have to pull it out by the roots, otherwise
right.
it's going to grow again.
Yeah. And also that, you know, we're truly a part of a greater whole that is intelligent and can direct things, so not everybody needs to do one thing.
Exactly.
You have to listen, go within, listen to see what you're supposed to do.
And not only that, I think a harder thing for some of us, particularly people who want to help,
mm-hmm.
is that not only can nobody can do everything.
Right.
You know, one of the mantras I've been using recently with people
mm-hmm.
is, you can only live one life.
Mm-hmm.
And can you really, that it's kind of humbling that, you know, I can do this, but I can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
But can I do this 100%?
Mm-hmm.
I was with, you know, we had a organic pizza shop on Broadway in the 80s with Hilda and her people, and one day there was a man in the street just staggering, and Hilda said he was drunk or something. She was going to rush out to help him, and then she heard very strongly inside, this one is not yours.
Right, yeah.
And to have that humility that you can't
mm-hmm.
fix the world, you know, you can only take what you've been given and make it the best offering possible, that to me is a kind of sanity that we
mm-hmm.
need.
There was an interesting study done with AIDS patients, and they asked them, a large number of AIDS patients a whole questionnaire of questions, and the only question that differentiated between those who were going to live and those who were not going to live, and this was before the protease inhibitors, was one question, and that is, would you help someone who didn't ask for your help? And the ones that said yes went ahead and died because they were using energy they didn't have. And the one that said no were more likely to survive.
That was
the one question out of all these, you know, psychological questions.
Wow.
And so I've always, you know, I've tried to tell people, especially people who are in the medical profession, they tend to be helpers, like you say.
Right.
You know, you've got to ask if you're supposed to do this surgery. You've got to ask if you're supposed to.
And in terms of, especially particularly the medical profession, with you know, I find that disease is one of the most interesting forms of manifestation.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah. In fact, I would go as far to say that it is maybe the primary modality that we have in this culture of spiritual initiation.
Right. It's so true. So many people get very, very ill before they slow down enough to even invite God or consciousness into their life.
So, like, you know, the disease itself is the cure. It has the wisdom. It's trying to teach us something. And the beauty, to me, is of the advanced manifestation work is when you have that freedom to no longer worry, is tomorrow going to be a good day or a bad day? Will the planets be good for me or bad? As Walt Whitman put it, henceforth, I seek not good fortune because I am good fortune.
Right. Become
what you're
manifesting.
And you put out that resonance, and you know, everything starts resonating with that frequency.
Right.
So I think it's so important that those who can get it understand that we do have the power to transform the quality of our experience. We don't have to stay in vibrations of anger, fear, and all the rest of it.
We do vibrate. I mean, if you want to know when you're tested, just be around somebody who's incredibly angry and see if you start vibrating in that energy, or someone who's in grief. If that person's intense grief brings up grief in you,
right?
We are truly vibratory beings, and it's only through, I guess, self-discipline that you learn not to vibrate with everything around you. I mean, some people say they can't watch the evening news. I can watch the evening news. I mean, it doesn't put me into a tailspin. I like to watch the evening news every once in a while. I don't watch it every night just to see, you know, I look at the commercials. I go, well, isn't that interesting? You know, isn't that an interesting way to try to get people to buy things? I mean, but you become the observer rather than the participant vibrating with everything.
Right.
So. So I'm looking on your website. Would you like to give your web information and contact information?
Well, it's rickjarrow.com, RickJarrow, and we have a lot of material on the website about, first of all, the manifestation community and its work. One of the things that I have tried to foster in my work is building groups and communities of manifestation, because, as you said with your group, it amplifies the power of the individual.
Yeah, it does.
And we do a lot of work around, we've learned a lot of work around collective visioning, for example, that really empowers. It's much more powerful if there are 25 people imagining on a similar vibration every morning with you.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's one of the things that we've been doing. Now, I am going to be at Omega Institute in Rhinebeck at the end of June, doing the Creating the Work You Love piece, which was the first piece that I did. And it's manifestation of around vocation. And the idea there is, no matter what the job market is, no matter what the economy is, if you work on the clear principles of alignment, abundance, passion, focus, sharing, vision, and clarity, you are going to be able to be in your right place at your right time. And we work to get people there through their own power, through their own kind of inner resources.
So that's
the big thing.
Yeah, so in this time frame, losing your job might actually be the best thing that ever happened to you.
It might be. and I think the place to get to I resonated. I connected to the first chakra in my in my own work. I work with it in the body, but it's not just the belief. It's the real sense of fearlessness and unlimited possibility. That because we are part of the whole, part of the intelligent universe, there's a place that needs me, and there's a place where I need to be, and I don't have to block that with ideas that I don't belong.
Right.
And then later in the summer, every year, I do the two workshops, the Alchemy of Abundance and Creating the Work You Love at Esalen Institute out in Big Sur. And the advantage there is we go for a week long, and we go into everybody's deep process.
Right.
And the, you know, my sense is that it's the process work that really allows change to take place.
Mm-hmm.
And process means that when you're interacting with other people, not just on the mental level, but on the feeling level and on the archetypal level, there's an alchemy that occurs. And exactly what you need kind of fits in and clicks in.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the work that I am doing. I do this work also in Europe. I work in Italy and every year, and occasionally in Poland with my ancestors, the land of my ancestors.
Right.
So that's all good.
Yeah, it is.
And you know, there is a tendency, you know, to focus on the panic and the bad news.
Mm-hmm.
But the other side of it, as you well know, is that is the springboard to new possibility.
Mm-hmm.
And once you release the fear of what's going to happen, and, you know, it's very interesting. A teacher of mine in India once told me, if you can't understand, stand under. The way a woman at a workshop at Omega, she phrased it, she said, she was introducing herself, she said, When one door closes, another door opens, but there's a long hallway in between, and I'm in that hallway.
Right.
You know, what do I do? And what we try to get people to do is not try to jump out of that hallway too easily or too early, but to allow yourself the periods of rest, disorientation, and unknowing, because that is often where the richness of the soul comes in. And if we can release the burden that I have to make something happen and understand that everything that needs to happen has already happened, let me just go with what's really attracting my attention, what I really have to deal with, then we start getting a lot of help.
Some of my most intense spiritual times and experiences have actually been when I couldn't get out of the bed. I had viral pneumonia a couple of years ago.
Wow.
And I couldn't do anything but the spiritual work that was going on around me, and it was teaching me what the principles that I needed to know from that time on out, probably for the rest of my life.
Right.
And those principles are basically, you have a path you're walking on. Your job is just to stay on the path. If you stay on the path, everything will be added to you. Everything.
Yeah.
And you don't have to try to manifest. You don't have to want anything. You don't have to. I mean, it's just.
You don't have to want.
God
anything.
Already knows what you need.
Exactly.
You don't have to generate it yourself.
But you also need to be honest with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I find one of the things that blocks people's manifesting is a kind of idealism that is not dealing with things. That if you want something. If it keeps attracting your attention, that's important for you. You have to deal with that issue. You can't pretend, that's not for me.
That's true.
And, you know, so the courage is to follow your heart's resonance and really work with that. And that's what you call walking your path. I call it following the heart's resonance. And there are a lot of ways to do that. And maybe I could share some ways from the Advanced Manifestation Program. One of them, which we already discussed, is turning the negative into a positive.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever something happens that jars you, the mantra comes in as, remember, this is your opportunity.
Right.
And to really, to really work with that, and even to give thanks for difficulty, because it's helping them, it's helping you realize who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Another one, right out of the Bible, is to bear our yoke with gladness. You know, this idea of, I don't know where it's coming from, that people are just going to snap their fingers and it's all going to be all right, is often, I see that as an infantile manifestation.
Mm-hmm.
Before you can become a superhuman, you have to become human.
Right.
And human means that you honor what I call your sacred obligations in life.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people in our generation, their parents are getting older.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's a sacred obligation. Parents
right.
and children is, to me, the most sacred obligation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting, when you do that really well, it stays with you in a way that lets you open up when the time comes.
Mm-hmm.
Another one, which we've just touched on, is recovering the power of our imagination.
Mm-hmm.
What I see happening is, you know, because the realm of the soul is experienced through the imagination, but our imaginations are being sapped by the constant media bombardment.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as far as I can see, this is actually a deliberate effort on behalf of certain powers that wish to control and dominate the human spirit. So what's the answer? Turn off the TV occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
And learn to use your imagination. Visualize your higher possibilities. Visualize your divinity. Visualize what I like to ask people is whatever area is occupying you, health, money, relationship,
mm-hmm.
what would your healed vision look like?
Mm-hmm.
Not just think about it, but what would your healed vision look like? If you can see it, it can happen.
Right.
And this opens you to the vital current and the multiple synchronistic realities and dreams, thoughts, and meetings. And radiance that can really come in and create the miraculous. Now, here's a really interesting one. You might not have this where you are, but where I live, we have the winter.
Mm-hmm.
And one day, inspired by reading how Walt Whitman never complained about the weather, I finally decided to stop complaining about the winter. And to receive it, give
mm-hmm.
thanks for the snow.
Right.
And it was amazing. It completely changed my relationship to the weather. And instead of feeling
mm-hmm.
bad and gloomy when it was cold and dark,
mm-hmm.
I just opened up to those spaces. And it's a wonderful practice, and that makes you less and less worried about what it's going to be like tomorrow.
And you can always, you can always give thanks for specific things. I mean, without cold weather, the bugs just take over. You know,
right.
there's
right.
always
exactly.
positives.
Exactly. Yeah.
In everything, if you study science and if you study, you know, if you just open yourself up to learning what they are. I mean,
here's another interesting one. Instead of like meditating always on what you want to get,
mm-hmm.
Give something away every day.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't, you know, and this could include getting rid of things you don't need.
Right. Yeah.
But also like carrying nuts or something in your pocket that
mm-hmm.
you give to people. Instead of buying one thing, buy two.
Right.
Give the second item to a friend.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, when you give money in the store, at the post office, when you're in line, give a blessing with it.
Mm-hmm.
And you notice gradually that you're floating, and you actually start having fun. I love doing errands because it's become fun.
Mm-hmm.
So these are some, you know, practices of abundance. Another great one is reviewing the day before you go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
And that allows you to kind of iron out a lot of unprocessed stuff so you don't have to bring it into your dream world.
Right, you sleep better.
Yeah.
And also when you first wake up, that's when I get all the information.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I run a pretty large business. I have 35, 40 employees, you know.
Right.
You know, and when I wake up is when I get all the information I need, including, you know, things that I need to intercede on so that
mm-hmm.
things don't become problematic, or patients I need to call because they're getting in trouble, you know. And so, really, I think when you first wake up, that's when you can really get a lot of information that will make your day go smoother.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what I've been working in our groups, we're working on kind of lifting the veil between the waking and sleeping realities, and you
mm-hmm.
just see them working into one another, and the synchronicities connect in all of them.
Yeah, I had several times when I was doing a very difficult surgery that really had never been done before. This thing, I was making it up, like you said, using
right.
your imagination. And, at night, I do the operation four or five different ways in the dream state. But when I woke up, I knew exactly how I was going to do it. And so that's an example of how you can,
Exactly.
Use the dream state to help the waking state be more productive,
yeah,
and also safer for the patient.
Yeah, exactly. You know, a friend of mine who's very conscious many years ago, he had a little car and he was hit by a big truck.
Mm.
And he was rolling over in the air on the New York State Thruway. And
mm-hmm.
as he was rolling over, his first thought was, I'm not going to die.
Mm-hmm.
Because he had dreamed that accident like six different ways the night before.
And chosen the one that where he walked away
exactly.
from it.
Yeah, and he literally landed on his wheels in a snowbank and he was fine.
That's great. That's great. Well, and it brings up an important point. We can't always avoid these points in our life, like the accident or the, you know, there are certain set things in life that we're going to go through. The Course in Miracles probably says it best. The curriculum is the same. You know, we're all going to follow the same curriculum.
Right.
The time you take to do the curriculum is up to you.
Right.
And so we all have to have false accusation. We all have to walk through losing everything we have,
right,
materially. We all have to walk through losing all of our significant relationships within a short period of time.
Right.
That's the curriculum.
Right.
So nothing is going to change the curriculum. We have, I'm sure, you know, your masters in India address this. You know, you're on a path. And but that doesn't mean that you can't consciously see what's going to happen, accept it, and then learn from it quickly so you don't have to recreate it four and five times to get the lesson. And I think that's, you know, getting through it with grace and with ease is what we would all like to do.
And when you really do get the message, then you can hang up the phone.
Right. Yeah, that's true. And sometimes when people die, they've gotten the message.
Right.
You should celebrate.
That's,
you
right.
know, they've run the course.
Yep.
You know, maybe they did it in a shorter time than other people, and maybe they die young. You shouldn't grieve for them. It's,
yeah.
It's a good thing.
Yeah. I mean, that kind of acceptance of what is,
mm-hmm.
is, to me, one half of the great art. That when you fully accept what is, then you can imagine what can be. And those two can really
mm-hmm.
work together. Because it's interesting, imagining what can be is not a fantasy to get you out of where you are.
No. Uh-uh.
It's part of the great ethos, it's part of the great dream of every Western religious tradition, that inside of every heart there's a hope that at the end of the day, everything is all right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that when you hit that, it lets you go through the fire. And wherever you've gone through the fire, and you just mentioned a few of them, you know, accidents, health, relationship
mm-hmm.
issues, wherever you have gone through the fire and come out, that's where you can heal.
And you're stronger. Your
yep.
spirit is stronger. Your will is stronger. To survive a life-threatening crisis or to, you know, not consider your life to jump into the Hudson River and save a life, to become selfless for a little bit of time.
Right.
Those are all things that really make you grow. And when you talk about imagination, I want the listeners to understand is you're not imagining in your own head. Einstein, all of the great scientists knew this and did this. I mean, Einstein did this, you know, in a half-waking, half-asleep state. Bringing in information, using his imagination, was actually tapping into the universal mind and bringing forth the next step. And good Lord, if we didn't have people that weren't willing to do that, we would have no advancement in any field.
Exactly. You know, that's why I told you I was kind of being a little bit glib, but I'm very serious. In terms of my own formation, the greatest thing I did was walking out of Harvard.
Right.
Because
you were on a path that wasn't going to lead you to where you need
right.
to be.
I listened to my heart. I stopped
mm-hmm.
worrying about people's expectations. I took a risk.
Mm-hmm.
And I walked, you know, I basically tramped around the world with nothing. And because of that, I have strength.
Right, you do. I quit my job for 5 months. I was working as a very, very successful plastic surgeon. I went into meditation, and I asked what to do, and I heard, quit your job.
Wow.
Nobody believed. I mean, the guy I was working with, the plastic surgeon I was working with, nobody could understand how I could follow that guidance. I was off for 5 months because I didn't know how long I was going to be off. you know, you can relate to that, you know. It's one thing at a time. It's not like, okay, you're going to quit your job, you're going to be off for 5 months, and then this, and this are going to happen as a result of it. You don't get that kind of thing. You get quit your job, you know, okay.
Right.
You don't know if you're going to go back to plastic surgery, you know.
Right.
You don't know where it's going to take you. So, you know, it really is a feedback system. You follow your instruction, follow your guidance, follow your feelings, follow the signs around you. There's all sorts of signposts all over the place. Follow that and then just keep following it without concern, over-concern anyway,
exactly.
That at the end of the day, you're going to have, you know, everything you always wanted.
I knew some people who were meditating in a houseboat in the San Francisco Bay, and they were deep in this meditation and took it very seriously, and when it was over, they went up on top of the boat and they noticed there had been an earthquake. And boats were capsized and things were broken down.
Oh,
and
no.
They had absolutely no effect.
Oh, my.
Because
they
were not
protection.
In that vibration. they moved into another vibration.
That's great.
And I've seen this again and again, that if you can move into another vibration,
right.
You know, you get so deep that you only go where you need to go.
Mm-hmm. Well, we were told in our meditation group, which was really, I mean, unbelievable, on a number of occasions. Number one, we were guided to understand there would be an economic crisis in mid-September.
Mm-hmm.
That allowed us to do some things that were
That's
good.
Wonderful.
We were told that we're all medical. We're
right.
Most of us are medical, yeah. Doctors, nurses, paramedics. And we asked if it would be safe to take the bird flu vaccine. And, I mean, that's a very important question, because when it comes out, you know, we're the front line.
Right.
So,
right.
And the answer was, you'll have to ask at the time, because some of the vaccine contains the bird flu.
Right.
And then, of course, Baxter admitted that some of the vaccine did. I mean, that blew my mind. I couldn't believe that would happen.
Well, you know, it happened in 1976, right?
Uh-huh.
With
yeah.
Gerald Ford and that vaccine, and people got, so many people were seriously hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, lost limbs and everything from this vaccine. So what was your guidance then?
Right, right.
What guidance did your group get?
Well, we didn't meet back then. I mean, it's a more recent group.
I mean the recent one. What did you recently get?
For what now, I'm sorry?
For the bird flu.
Oh, well, we got that we'd have to ask at the time.
Uh-huh.
You know, the vaccine isn't being offered yet, obviously.
Right.
But that we would have to ask at the time whether or not we should take it.
Mm-hmm.
Because some of the vaccine might be good, some of it might not be good. In other words, you have to walk the path, and when you get to that point, you're going to have to ask. And then we were also told in the beginning of April that by the end of April there would be a flu pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And there was, you know, I mean, not the bird flu pandemic,
right.
But a flu pandemic nonetheless.
I was, I met a man who had been in the concentration camps in
mm-hmm.
Germany. And he was very young. He was like 15 years old. And they were online. And, you know, when you get to the head of the line, to the table, they ask, do you want to go to the right or to the left?
Mm-hmm.
And in front of him, he was like 15. In front of him was a 34-year-old man.
Mm-hmm.
And in front of him were two elders. And the elders both went to the left. So the 34-year-old man, he wanted to go like where the big shots were going. So he went
mm-hmm.
to the left. And this kid said, I got up to the table, and I could feel something just push me to the right.
Right.
and he took it, you know, he followed it, he did it.
Yeah.
And he's the one who
and
lived.
And he survived, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and think about that. I mean, could situations like that be final exams,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And since we're pretty sure that consciousness survives death because of recent studies, I interviewed Dr. Russell Targ last week, and of course, he's done some great work on that.
Mm-hmm.
And it just may be a final exam, you know, whether or not you decide to choose chemotherapy or some alternative cancer therapy could
right.
be a final exam, you know. And I'm not saying one's better than the other. I'm saying your choice is what is the final exam.
Right. And when I do career counseling sessions in terms
mm-hmm.
of people trying to make choices,
mm-hmm.
the first place I try to get them back to is what I consider to be the most significant question. And it's not even a question, but I'll ask you, like, what is your cosmology, or why do you think we're here?
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing here? And it's interesting because, to me, this is a fundamental question that doesn't get discussed in school, doesn't get discussed on television. William Blake said it beautifully. He said, we are put on earth a little space until we learn to bear the beams of love. I love that answer.
That's right. Yeah.
But if you have that sense of why you're here, what you're here for, even if you can't completely intellectually articulate it, that will inform your choices to align you toward your spirit and toward your destiny. And most people don't have a sense yet of personal destiny.
Mm-hmm.
They have a collective destiny.
Right.
To step out of the crowd and claim a personal destiny is already a huge step.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you were to ask me that question, I would respond with Ananda. I mean, that vibrates very well with me. Ananda or enjoyment. I think the reason the manifested worlds are created, both individually and collectively, is so that we can come and enjoy ourselves.
Yes.
And what I tell people is, if you're not enjoying your relationships, if you're not enjoying your job, if you're not enjoying your choices, then you need to choose again. You know, you're not doing what you came to do.
When you say that, what I keep thinking of, if I change the spelling to enjoy to I-N, it's in joy.
Mm-hmm.
Are you in joy?
Right. Are you in joy?
Are you
That's
in
right.
Joy?
Of active being.
Yeah.
And we're here to be, not do, like you
yeah.
said. You know, the consumption, everything. But it's interesting. I wanted to tell this short story. I was guided to go to certain stores where things were like 75% to 90% off, and then I was guided to go to this certain area, and they said, buy this. And I went, well, I already have one of those. And the answer is, you're going to have two houses.
Wow.
So,
wow.
And then I was interviewing a fairly well-known clairvoyant here in town. And the first thing he said is publication. You have books around. And I said, yeah, I'm about to publish a book. And the second he said, is you're going to have a house on both, you're going to have a house on both coasts. And I said, yeah, I guess I. So you can almost intuit the future by the instructions you're given along the path.
Right.
Because I don't want a house on both coasts. You understand that? I think taking care of one house is bad enough. I've got them out putting a generator in right now. In fact, they're right outside. They just came in. Not because I want a generator here, but because I'm told to put a generator at the house. And it's expensive and it's trouble and everything, but I think it's necessary because I wouldn't have been guided to put a generator here. So, you do follow your guidance based on, and then later on you find out why that was so important. And I think some people say, oh, that's just crazy, that's insane, you're not even, you don't even know what's guiding you. And I go, yeah, I do, I actually do, because I have faith in it, I trust it, and over time it has been what is kept me out of trouble and also kept me in relative comfort. If the power does go off, then I've got a backup. And if we're in quarantine or if we're, there's many possibilities out there. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but if it does, things like this, the guidance made sense.
And there's so many ways to receive guidance. Certain people who are introverted will get it within, extroverted will
right.
see it on TV. Centroverts will see both.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to develop your own spiritual practices. Some people
right.
get it on the golf course because
yeah.
that's their meditation. That's fine.
And
nothing wrong with
line,
the golf course as long as you don't walk barefoot with chemicals, That's the doctor talking. Well, we're coming up to the last few minutes. Would you care to give your contact information and any
okay.
inspirational messages for our audience?
Yeah. Yeah, well, you can reach me info@rickjarrow.com or just go onto the website, rickjarrow.com.
Mm-hmm.
It talks about the upcoming workshops in Omega and Esalen, talks about the manifestation groups that we put out, talks about the Advanced Manifestation Program and the Alchemy Abundance of Abundance, which is kind of like a book version of that program. And it also talks about the personal work that I do. So everything is on the rickjarrow.com website. I think the most important thing right now for those of us who have been on this path and who honor this work is to remember what we've learned. It's not, there's nothing new that we need to know. We all know it all, but it's not to get kind of backtrack into panic or anger or resentment, and not to be afraid to let things go that are going, because this is how the new world is coming in. And one of the things that is not always expressed is at the very bottom, at the core of the mission statement of the United States of America, it was a revolutionary core, you know, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, which was a transformation. You know, John Locke in England, they had it as life, liberty, and property.
Right. Yeah.
So the meaning...
We brought the enjoyment back in, didn't we?
Yeah, we brought the enjoyment. When we talk about happiness, we're not talking about the pursuit of things.
No.
The greatest happiness was that America had the, you know, continued the lineage, the mission where people would have the freedom of conscience to live the life that their conscience, their heart, their soul gave to them, and to give other people the opportunity to do that.
Right.
So if you really want to go on your path, a really great way to do that is to appreciate the paths of others.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and understand that everybody's coming into this life to walk their path.
Right, that's true.
And the more we can honor that and genuinely appreciate, wow, that's so beautiful, the more space we have to walk our own.
That's true.
That, to me, is the combination of freedom and connectedness that we're seeking.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. It was a great interview.
Yeah, and, thank you so much. I really appreciated your substantiveness.
Well, thank you.
You're not just doing sound bites. You're really getting to the bottom of things.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for that, and for the work in the, you know, the medical arena is like the front lines of where a lot of the new culture is being created, and where a lot of the most horrific things are also being put on. So I really support you in that work.
Well, thank you very much. This is Susan Kolb with Temple of Health Radio Show. Next week, we're going to be interviewing Keith Amber, Steps of Enlightenment. The week after that, Gabriel Weiss, Dr. Weiss, The Healing Power of Meditation. And then Dr. Lynn Horowitz on the 13th, a discussion on the flu pandemic. Dr. Horowitz is a public health doctor with a great deal of knowledge in this. And then Dr. Laszlo will be back on the 20th discussing science and the re-enchantment of the cosmos. And Dr. Hamilton, who's a neurosurgeon, will be talking about his book, The Scalpel and the Soul. We also have Noetic Science meeting on the third Thursday of every month. This Thursday, the Thursday in June is the 18th. Dr. Brad Gould will be talking about GMO foods and the story of Monsanto. That'll be at the Dunwoody office. For information on that, please call 770-457-4677. And again, thank you for joining us for Temple of Health Radio Show. Have a great week.
Great work, Susan. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm sick and tired of always feeling sick and tired, and I don't want to take a lot of prescription drugs to feel better. Isn't there a better way?
Millennium Healthcare offers natural solutions to your health problems. Millennium Healthcare is qualified healthcare professionals working with you to restore your health and wellness. Whether it's a caring physician, one of our natural providers, or our natural apothecary, Millennium Healthcare can help. For more information, call Millennium Healthcare at 770-390-0012. That's 770-390-0012.